I'm going to read now from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, from verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. The angel said, "You'll be with child and give birth to a son and give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Let's pray together. Lord our God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for every word that was brought to your servants, and we thank you for all of those that have been recorded for us now. We thank you that we can read it and think about it, and we pray for your blessing now as we do that. Please meet with us and speak to us for our Saviour's sake. Amen. Well, Christmas is a time for watching films. Maybe it's not quite as exciting as it was when I was a child. There weren't quite so many ways you could get hold of films, so the Christmas season, all the films that were on television were of great excitement. There was kind of wall-to-wall films, one after the other, on lots of different channels, and you looked forward to that greatly. There have been some great films and some great stories written, haven't there? I wonder what your favourite film is. Anyone brave enough to shout out? It's very dark, so I can't even see you. What's your favourite film?
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Which one? The Johnny Depp one. Okay, the later one. The earlier one was with Marty. Thank you. See, good. That one. I like that one slightly better because he's even weirder than Johnny Depp. But that's a great film. The Great Escape, that used to be on a lot at Christmas when I was a kid, and I think it's still on now. Great film, Escaping. If you children haven't seen it yet, it's worth a watch over Christmas, or getting out, or be in a cheap bin somewhere for a quid in shops. Skyfall is kind of now my favourite film. I just seen it recently. It's a very good James Bond film, isn't it? Those of you who are into James Bond. And so that's quite a favourite. Anyone else got any favourites before I say any more of mine?
Have faith like a potato.
Which one?
Have faith like a potato.
Have faith like a potato. I bet no one else has watched that. Anyone else? Ah, a few over there. Okay. Is it a good film?
Yes.
It's a good film. Okay. Have faith like a potato. It's one to watch over Christmas. Clearly. There was one over here somewhere. Was it? No? Okay. What about this one? Is that Toy Story 1 or 2 or 3? It's Toy Story 3, is it? Okay. I think they were all great. I think it's famous for being one of those sequels and sequel to the sequel that were pretty much as good as the first one. It's very rare for the second and the third to be as good. Although maybe Godfather 2 was the best out of the Godfather. I can't remember. But anyway, Toy Story, great film. The Holiday... it's a good one to watch over Christmas. All you guys get weeping. All the girls sitting there, very serious about it all. But great film. Kind of unsatisfactory because the two at the bottom, Jack Black and whatever her name is, don't end up together. And you feel a bit kind of sad. But there we are. Kate Winslet, isn't it? This, one of my favourite films. If you're old, you'll recognise this film. The Sting. Does anyone oldish remember The Sting? It's a great film, isn't it? Really enjoyed it. It's one of the first films I went to see at the cinema, and the whole thing was just amazing me. The plot, the fact that it was in colour, because we had a black and white television at home, living in the shoebox as we did. But great film, one to watch over Christmas, if you want to get it out. Notting Hill, still good, still worth a watch. I was going to get another one, but I've forgotten what it is. Anyway, any of those with Hugh Grant in. And this one. Anyone know what this film is? It's As Good As It Gets. It pretty much is my favourite film. Because there's lots of interesting things happen in it. There's lots of interesting lines. There's a bloke with OCD, and I'm surrounded by people with OCD. And don't have any trouble myself with those sort of things. Jack Nicholson plays this guy with OCD. There's just lots of interesting things happening in it. There's the great As Good As It Gets line where he goes into his therapist and he wants to kind of break in there and get an appointment. And there's all these people kind of waiting in the waiting room looking really sad. And that's when the line is uttered. He kind of looks around at these sad-looking people who are waiting for the therapist and saying, is this as good as it gets? It's a great line to make you think, is there more to life than just this? So good film to watch and think about. So there's a lot of great films and a lot of great stories. Great storytelling, great imagination is something that God's given us. And sometimes stories help us understand another world, or sometimes they help us imagine a world that we don't currently know or understand. I wonder what the greatest story ever told is. I guess you'd expect me, especially on a carol service like this, to say that the greatest story ever told is the story of Jesus. And I'd almost want to say that, the story of the birth of Jesus and the life of Jesus and all else that he did. I mean, it is a story that's got the ordinary and the miraculous put together. I was thinking when we were doing the nativity thing this morning, how good a story it is to act out, because there are so many different characters. You can give as many parts as you like as angels, because there's a whole heavenly host of them, so you'll never run out of actors for angels. And we don't know how many shepherds there were. We know there was three wise men, but you can always have a few people accompanying them. So you've got loads of parts to give out and loads of interesting things happening in the story. So it's a very dramatic story. There's politics, there's scandal, there's danger, there's emotion, there's all these great characters. But I'm not sure I'd say it's the greatest story ever told, because that kind of gives the impression that it's a great story to tell, but maybe it's not true. And the thing about this story is its truth. There are stories that we maybe see or read, and we wish they were true. We wish perhaps there was a character like James Bond who was keeping us all safe, or Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible, or we wish perhaps there was Superman, or Buzz Lightyear did really exist. We maybe wish some stories were true, but we know they're not. And the true stories are much sadder than that. But this story about the birth of Jesus is true. But more than it being true, it's relevant. It's not just an interesting piece of history. It's more than just true. It's relevant. It has something to say to all of us right now. You see, it's not a story that's written to entertain. It's not a story that's written to get us to spend our money. It's not a story to get us to fantasize for just a few moments before we get back to our normal world. It's a story that's true and it's relevant. And I want us to think just for a couple of minutes about, a couple doesn't mean two, a couple means 10 or 15 or something, but a few minutes about what the angel Gabriel said to Mary and how that shows us, not only is it true, but it's relevant for us. It's about the birth of Jesus Christ. And I want to suggest to you three things. First of all, that Jesus Christ is the greatest man, the greatest person who has ever lived. There's Mary, minding her own business. Maybe she's sweeping the porch, as they often are in nativity plays. Maybe she's making some bread. Maybe she's kicking leaves. Maybe she's watching EastEnders. She's doing something, not expecting the visitor that she receives. And the angel, who's given a name, Gabriel, shows up. And he probably looked pretty normal, but the words he brought were extraordinary. He brings to Mary two massive bombshells. And the second one's bigger than the first one. The first one was that she was going to be pregnant and she was going to give birth to a son. She was going to have a normal pregnancy and birth, and that was soon to begin. And you couldn't underestimate the scandal that that would bring into her life. She's engaged, which was a serious commitment, more serious than our own engagements. Practically married, except not sleeping together. And having a baby meant that surely she'd broken her vows. She was going to bring shame on her fiancé and shame on her family. Mary knows she hasn't slept with a man. And she's done GCSE biology, so she knows you can't get pregnant without that. So she asks, well, how is this going to happen then? And the angel explains it's going to be a miracle. So, okay, she's dealing with the first bombshell, which is she's going to get pregnant and it's going to be a miracle. It's not going to be through sleeping with a man. Need a bit of explaining to her friends and relatives, but maybe she could live with that. And then the second bombshell. This baby is going to be the Son of God, the Son of the Most High. This baby who's growing in her tummy, the one who's going to be biologically descended from her, the one who's going to be 100% man with all the DNA to be a man, this person, at the very same time as being a son of hers, is going to be the Son of God, the Son of the Most High, as he's described here. The Son in the sense that he will relate to God the Father, as a son relates to his father. The Son in the sense that he inherits all that it is to be God, both in his attributes and in his rights. And because of that alone, he's the greatest person that has ever lived. The greatest man who has ever walked on the earth. We could think of great people in particular areas. We could think of great sportsmen. Who's that? Yes, Usain Bolt. What's he good at?
Running.
I think he's quite good at running, isn't he? I reckon I could probably beat him if I had a little head start of about 99 metres. But in a particular area, he's great. He maybe is the greatest 100-metre runner that there's ever been. Greatest leader perhaps our country's ever known, Winston Churchill. Bit of a fascinating character. All round, but a great leader. And there was a group of four men. And in 7 years, amazingly, they completely changed the whole music scene. These four, the Beatles. Great. I'm not a great Beatles lover, but you can't deny there was a significant, dramatic change they made to music. And just in 7 years, influenced and changed greatly. They're great. They're a great musical group. But put all these alongside the Son of God, and they're not so great. They're just good at something. Jesus Christ, this baby who was born, and we remember at Christmas, is the Son of God. He's the architect of the universe. He made the bricks, and then he built the universe. He designed the systems that are pumping the blood around your body right now. He designed everything that there is. He gave skill to the fastest runner. He gave invention to the greatest musician. He gave wisdom to the greatest leader. This person is Jesus Christ. And could there be anybody greater than the Son of God? even before he takes his first breath, even before he does a great work, which he does do, he's the greatest person who ever lived. He will be great because he is great, because he's the Son of the Most High. Jesus is the greatest person, the greatest man, because he's God in the flesh. Now, that's a great story. But it's a miracle. And miracles are kind of hard to believe, aren't they? There was an intelligent-sounding woman on Radio 5 Live this week, maybe Thursday or Friday. She was introduced as an ancient Hebrew academic. Maybe she wasn't that old, but she was into ancient Hebrew. And I realized later it was a skeptical presenter called Francesca, I'll have a go, Stavrakopoulou, who did a BBC program a little while ago called Bible's Buried Secrets. And she was kind of wheeled on to the morning news program as some kind of an expert. And she was asked whether the Christmas story was true. And she laughed a bit, patronizingly. And of course, she said no. No, because there's not much evidence, really. Well, there's a technical point we could spend lots of time talking about, which we won't, which is that she, and others too, ignore the Bible text as evidence. So she says, there's no evidence. And you say, well, what about the Bible? And she says, well, you can't take the Bible as evidence. Why not? But you can't. It's like, you know, the Bible writers were clearly a bunch of weirdos with absolutely no intelligence and didn't know what day it was, even though they could write these books and put them all together and compile them and lead churches and all the rest of it. They were clearly complete dimwits, as opposed to some other people who were clearly completely unbiased and able to record history perfectly. And of course, we know that's not true. So for one thing, she ignored the Bible in terms of evidence. But more than that, really underlying her explanation, which is really lots of people's explanation, and maybe your explanation, is that she doesn't believe in God. And she doesn't believe in particular in a God who can do miracles. She's not really objective. Many people are not really objective. They look at the Bible, but they don't really accept that there is a God who can do miracles, can do things that seem to be impossible. You see, she began to say that what the people who wrote the New Testament, and in particular the Gospels, were doing was that they knew these prophecies and they were trying to make the story fit the prophecies. And so they made up all this stuff. But just think about it for a minute. Let's suppose the prophecies were true. What would you do? Well, you'd record the stories and you'd point out that they fit the prophecies, wouldn't you? That's exactly what you do. So the issue is not where's the evidence. The issue is, do you believe in God? The God who can do the impossible. There's loads of evidence. And when you put the whole body of evidence together, it's a pretty compelling story. More than a couple of thousand years of God revealing himself, speaking to people in this story that has a thread that runs right through it, right up to this point where Jesus is born and continues through to the end. It's an amazing story. And it all hangs together. There's the evidence. And the question is, are you going to accept that there is a transcendent God who's intervened in history? You have to do that to accept that Jesus is the greatest man. Otherwise, you're going to think, he was a great guy, he was a great leader, he was quite a good example, I quite like his teaching, but he's just up there with the Beatles and Usain Bolt. He's an interesting, good man. But if you accept that God is speaking, then you'll see him as the greatest who ever lived. Luke has this great phrase in that text that we read in verse 37, great phrase for skeptics, which is this: Nothing is impossible with God. There's loads of evidence in the Bible for the impossible happening. And the angel just does a little reminder to Mary. You don't quite understand what's going on at the moment, but just remember God. God is so much greater than us. And God can do what we describe as the impossible, because nothing is impossible for God. There is nothing that God can't do. And the impossible thing that God did at Christmas time was to send his son to be born and to become a man who was the greatest man. I think the world around you tells you that God exists. I think your heart inside you knows that God's there. And God's written this book, the Bible, for you to be the final piece of evidence that's put in front of you. Not just evidence about the birth of Jesus, but evidence about all the history before and after. And that's evidence that you need to look at and to believe, just like Mary does, that yeah, when we're talking about God, nothing's impossible. Even God coming in the flesh. So God exists, God speaks, the Bible records what he does. And what are you making of the evidence? That's a question to think about over Christmas. Jesus Christ is the greatest man who ever lived. The coming of Jesus is the greatest present we could ever receive. What's anybody looking forward to receiving this Christmas time? Any offers? Anyone know what they're getting? No? A little big CD. Oh, a little, okay. A CD. That's good, not to have too big an expectation, like it. I asked my family, and if I asked my mum, who eventually got it today, but do you know what my favourite ever present was? It was orange. Yeah. It was my favouritest present I ever got, my space hopper. I used to hop around in the garden on it, and I used to have a cowboy outfit and a gun holster, and used to waddle around on the thing thinking it was my horse and, you know, shooting baddies and all that kind of thing. It's a pretty cheap present, I reckon, so my mum and dad got off pretty lightly that year. But it lasted for years, and it seemed to have a character all of its own. And it was a great present. Don't know what you're looking forward to. Jesus in the Bible is described as an indescribable gift, a gift that's so amazing, so tremendous, that sometimes it's almost impossible to think of a word to describe it. Amazing doesn't seem good enough, and incredible doesn't seem good enough. Wow doesn't seem a good enough word to say about the birth and the coming of Jesus. But he's described as God's indescribable gift, not so much because he was just born and because he was a great person and because he was God. He's described as the greatest present you could ever receive because he came as a savior. You probably know savior is another word really for a rescuer. It was a great rescue. I think it was yesterday or maybe the day before. But there was a lady in Wales somewhere, and she was in her car, and the car was swept away by floods and swept under this bridge, and it was kind of lodged in under the bridge, kind of on the high part of the bridge. And these couple of guys saw her there. She's stuck there. She can't get out and everything. And they got a ladder, and they smashed the window with the ladder, and they climbed across, let the woman out. And then just a few moments later, the car apparently kind of bobbed again and drifted right under the bridge, and she would have drowned. It was a great rescue story. Jesus is a rescuer like that, but better and greater. The coming of Jesus is the greatest present we could ever receive, because he rescues us from our biggest problem, which is we're being swept away by a tide. It's the tide of us not having God on the throne. It's the tide, it's the flow of us not wanting God to be the ruler over us. It's the tide, it's the flow, it's the flood of us not wanting to know God as our friend and to acknowledge God as our King. It's the tide, it's the flow of us serving ourselves. And Jesus rescues us from doing that and the consequences of doing that. Jesus was God's gift to us because he made a fundamental change in the way things are. You know that Jesus grew up to be a man, and you know that that man was executed on a Roman cross. And the greatest man who ever lived made the greatest sacrifice that has ever been made. And as he gave his life, he was giving the best present that has ever been given. He was giving eternal life to all those who believed in him. All those throughout the history since then, putting their trust in Jesus. All those people like you here this evening who may have done that, who put their trust in Jesus and say, I want to be saved and rescued from the flood of my selfishness and sin. Jesus died for you. Jesus paid the penalty that you should have paid. Jesus went through the ordeal that you should have gone through. It's the greatest gift, it's the greatest present that you'd ever receive. Better than a space hopper, better than a PlayStation, better than a brand new TV, better than a holiday for two in wherever you want to go. It's the greatest present. And the question is whether you're going to receive it. Christmas is a great time for receiving presents with thanks. Are you going to receive the gift of Jesus with thanks this Christmas? The greatest person with the greatest present. And finally, the one who invites us to the greatest party. Christmas is littered with parties of various kinds, isn't it? There are children's parties, there are parties at school, there are parties at the various clubs you go to. There are parties at work, which range between being mildly amusing to being very amusing to being appallingly embarrassing, and all those things in between. There are family parties which are excellent, and there are family parties which are not. There are people who are otherwise civilized through the year, seem to behave as though they've just escaped from prison. There are arguments that start up. But there are good parties. What's a good party? What are the elements of a good party? Well, I suppose having family and friends around is part of being a really good party. Having good supplies of things to eat and enjoy is part of a good party. Having fun, enjoying ourselves is part of a good party. And having a good host, someone who's in charge, who makes us feel secure, who sees to our needs, who looks after us. You know when Gabriel, the angel, speaks to Mary, he says, you're going to give birth to a son, he's going to be a saviour, and he's going to have a kingdom. He's going to have people who he rules over, and that kingdom is never going to come to an end. There's never been a kingdom that never ended. There's never been a party that didn't end eventually. But Jesus invites us to a party that will never end. Now, it's not like I'm trying to be right, kind of hip and cool and try and make out Jesus is going to invite you to some sort of Club Med or something, you know, that goes on forever, like some of those, I don't even know what they're called down in Brighton, a nice club down in Brighton that sort of never closes or something, that Jesus is so cool in that way. But really, if you think of all you love about parties, being with the people that you love, enjoying food and wine that you love, having a great host, doing fun stuff, if you think about those things and having them in a way that never ends, that's what Jesus invites us to. Now, of course, we've got our noses in the trough of trying to live this life and enjoy all we can in this life. And all the time, we're getting invited to this party that will never end. And it's so easy to miss it. Well, we've got our faces somewhere else. So another great question for you this Christmas. You got an invitation to this party. You have to be in the kingdom of Jesus, but you got an invitation to this party. Are you going to accept? Are you going to come? Jesus Christ, the greatest man who ever lived, because he's the Son of God. Jesus Christ, the one who gives the best present you could ever receive, eternal life, right with God, friends with God. Jesus Christ, who gives the invitation to the greatest party at the end of the world, living in the presence of God and with our Christian family forever. Are you going to accept? Think about it this Christmas. Enjoy all the time with your family and your friends and all the food you're going to eat and all the presents you're going to give and receive. But think about Jesus Christ, because he is great. Thanks for listening. It's a chance to